Brandon, Adam, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. Today, it's frankly one of my favorite topics that we're going to be chatting about, Brandon. Of course, we're still in dynasty mode. We're still in rookie draft mode. And today, we want to talk about some must stash rookies that we're going to be picking up in our rookie drafts. Now, I don't know how you approach this, Brandon, but you can really look at it as stash, as you're stashing on your bench, hoping to pop this season, so the 2024 season, or if you've got a deeper style of league where you've got, say, a taxi squad, these are guys that you want to just percolate and maybe might take a year or two before they actually become fantasy relevant. But when they do, baby, they are going to pop. What's going on, Brandon? Big. How you doing?
Good, man. This is we've been in it with draft season. I think I've knocked out 4 or 5 rookie drafts in the last few days, and then startups are going with Trash Man and I. So we're having a good time enjoying this draft season because there are some real values because of how good the top tier of talent in this class pushes so many people down, and we can take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, especially in Superflex drafts, just because there were so many quarterbacks drafted at the top half of the real NFL draft, which just really brings a ton of value, especially in round 2 and early round 3 in our rookie drafts. And in terms of like where we're going to be choosing players, I kind of approached it as round 3 and onwards. I mean, typically you're going to have a pretty chalky list of players through rounds 2, right? Would you agree with that, Brandon? I mean, depending on your order, but for the most part, it's going to be a similar type of player that's going to be drafted. But really, once you get to round 3 and onwards, like the ADPs be damned, you're going to be going, people are going to be taking your players, especially because as much as in a traditional draft, everybody's got one pick per round, that's not how it works in rookie drafts, right? So sometimes guys might even, or girls might only have 2 or 3 picks in the entire rookie draft. So you don't have the luxury of playing that ADP game. You're going to be taking the guys that you like. But Brandon, let me just kind of chat about something that went down in one of our rookie drafts. And I think this is relevant to people because this is all about your approach to the game of fantasy football and really just a little bit of game theory here. So there was a seemingly innocent trade that you and I did in our rookie draft that pretty much it broke our guy Flex Matt. He can go on tilt often, but this trade broke him. And essentially what it was, I think it was like my 3.3. So it was, right around that point where, okay, it's we're getting into dart throw territory. And I traded it to you for your, I believe it was the 401 and 403.
Yes.
So I went back a full round and you went and drafted a player that we're, spoiler alert, going to be talking about on the show today, Jermaine Burton. Yes. Now, this broke Matt's soul. This broke his mind. And he went off on me for a good 2 hours, both in the group chat as well as in our league chat. And now, this isn't collusion chip. This is our clip. This is what we call peeling back the onion on strategy. So I'll just I want to get to your thoughts quickly here, Brandon, but I want to just give you my perspective here. So this is a league. This is a startup. And for those of you who are out there doing startups, one of my favorite formats, and this is actually one where Brandon's commissioner, so kudos, my friend, for always putting together a great league. Basically, what it is we go through the process of the startup draft, but within that startup draft, we don't have the rookie players, but you draft, we use typically kickers as a placeholder, and so you're essentially drafting your rookie picks. Okay? So that means you get the fun of the startup draft, and then you also get the fun of the rookie draft. Fantastic.
Yes.
Now, in this particular league, wasn't my plan going in it, but I traded back a bunch early on. I'm actually not too unhappy. I'm pretty happy with how my team turned out, but
it's actually all right.
Yeah, I'm a decent team, but I'm probably a middling team, right? I don't have a lot of top end sizzle because I traded back out of round 1 and 2. Okay. Picked up a lot of capital, and then I've got 4 first round picks going into next year, right? So effectively, it's a bit of a productive struggle. Now, because of that, my approach in this rookie draft was, who are players that can pop on my bench and in my particular team where I'm weak and where I decided to kind of just put my hands in the air was at the running back position. So where I'm sitting there at pick 3.3 and I look at my rookie rankings, which you can go check it out over at DFS Army, the Discord. I posted my rankings in the season-long fantasy football chat. So that hit me up for a DM, and I will also send you the rankings if you can't find them there. But I like to tier my players, Brandon. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was at the top of round three, the value was on the wide receiver position. And a lot of those guys are very high upside, but also high probability of bust, right? So I decided, sure, listen, I kind of want to go running back here. It's a tight end premium league, maybe dabble in the tight end position. So I looked at my rankings back end of round three, early round four, felt like there was a pretty solid value pocket there. And a lot of the profiles were very similar to the top of the third round. So I decided to trade back. Mm-hmm. That was my methodology. Now, obviously, you have a few guys, and Jermaine Burton is one of your guys. So where do you balance, Brandon, getting your guys in rookie drafts like this, or just the approach? Like, to me, it felt pretty fair, right? Two early fourth round picks for an early third round pick.
The trade value is fine. It was just more of the value that that Matt has put in his mind over for Burton. I think Matt has Burton as like a top six wide receiver in the class, seven wide receiver in the class. And I put him at eight. And so,
yeah,
I think his upside is tremendous, but we all know that there's some baggage that we've heard about. I haven't heard clean stories about it, so I really don't want to even acknowledge what people are talking about with his character issues. And I'm tired of trying to do that. I can't judge people's character. I'm just going to judge you as a football player. And as a football player, Jermaine Burton is a dog, man. Like, this guy is a competitor. This guy is going to a wide receiver room with straight monsters in it, with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And he's going to be put in check. As soon as he's there, he's got nobody to act like he's not above anybody in that route, in that wide receiver room. And he is going to be able to learn so much from that wide receiver room. And I think Joe Burrow is going to be able to maximize this kid's talent. And that's why I made the jump. Because I think if without the off-field stuff, I think Jermaine Burton would have been considered a wide receiver in the first round of this of drafts because of how dominant he really was as a college football player. His profile, it screams profile of a deep shot guy, but he can do a lot more than that. It's just what he was asked to do, because honestly, Jalen Milroe is a below average quarterback in college. Below average. This guy is not good, okay? He makes Anthony Richardson look accurate in college, okay? Like, that's how bad Milroe is. And I think that guy left a ton of opportunities on the field because of overthrow, underthrows, just not being able to get through his reads. And I just don't think he's a very good quarterback. So Burton was kind of handicapped with that. But if you look at Jermaine Burton's actual numbers, Jermaine Burton, in his regular season per PFF on yards route run, is at 3.12 yards route run. That's pretty dang good. That's top 10 in the class if you get rid of some of the guys that only have like a few targets. He's still way up there. He's behind names like Xavier Leggett, Marvin Harrison Jr. They're next on the list. Marvin Harrison Jr. is at 3.44 during the regular season for yards per route run. Troy Franklin, 3.55 during the regular season. This guy is up with the elites in college football on a route basis, yards per route basis, but it's just his opportunity isn't quite the target share. He's never broke 20% as a target share as a college player. So that is like the red flag to me, is that he never got that elite target share in college. So you didn't get to see the monster numbers, but on an efficiency metrics, man, this guy is explosive. He has every bit of the kind of guy I like to draft in. He's a football player. Like, he lives it, man. Like, you can feel this guy's energy across the TV and into your room, wherever you're watching it. You can feel this guy play football. And I think I like him at like a guy, like the way he plays football is a lot like Dez Bryant. He mosses people when it's time to get up there, but I think he can be better with yards per after the catch. kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, he's not that elite at that. He's not a Malik Neighbors or anything like that, but that's where he can get better. And if he can get better there, oh, dear Lord, man. In the Bengals offense, think about all of the trash targets that was going to Tyler Boyd, where it was just very easy targets that had no upside to him. And now you got Jermaine Burton running those routes. And then when T. Higgins leaves next year, you got Jermaine Burton that's going to flop. That's going to be their wide receiver too easy for the Bengals in 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, we know that one of Joe Burrow's superpowers is just his elite accuracy, both the intermediate and the deep ball. Now, when you look at average depth of targets, Jermaine Burton was pretty much the top of the class, at least of relevant players, at 20.2 yards. Like, that's insane. Like, that's when you look at his route tree, that's what his superpower is as well. So, I mean, really, listen, I think we do. I think we should talk about the character issues just a little bit. Now, this is all alleged, right? But apparently there was some domestic violence potential with this guy, right? And then we've also saw he was a bit of a hothead in games.
On the field.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, on the field. Yep. So it's
he has some DK Metcalf to him.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of DK Metcalf in that sense. But DK, I don't know. Like, to me, DK can just, like, it's a little different. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being biased because I love DK. But it's just this, like, me first versus a team first type mentality. Now, people can mature. People can evolve. He's still a young man, right? So when you're around people and you're in a good crowd, people can evolve, right? So, and that's why the Bengals took a shot on him in the third round. Right. We talked about it. Like, he was probably more so of a round two type talent. Like, he probably could have been above an Adonai Mitchell type prospect.
He would have been before Keon Coleman. Like, he would have been, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Just, maybe.
Like, just, well, without all this negativity, I'm sure he would have gone in fringe first round.
But isn't that so interesting? Right. And that just, I think, as much as we like to look at the data, as much as we like to look at the tape, what really makes these players succeed at the next level is what's between the ears, right? It's what's upstairs in 100%. Their head, right? And 100%. It's funny because now all these videos about Keon Coleman, both when the Bills interviewed him during the at the combine, and now that he's been drafted, there's a lot of videos coming out. Like, the dude just seems like a really awesome person, right? Like, he just has a great mentality, great head on his shoulders. And in that interview with the Bills, if you haven't seen it, go out and just Google it, right? It's all over the internet right now. And he just was working that room, man. He was just charming as hell. And so what happened? You get a Keon Coleman, you get an Adonai Mitchell, you get a Jermaine Burton, guys who are similar at winning in like the same area of the field. And Keon Coleman was the one who was drafted at the top of that heap, right? And I think a lot of it has to do with the character. Is this guy going to be a good locker room guy? I mean, it's like, I don't want to say Stephon Diggs is always a bad locker room player, but when he's upset, he can become very toxic, right? Yeah. And so you bring in a polar opposite guy like Keon Coleman. So all I have to say is, if you take the person out of it and you just look at the production, he could be just as productive as a player like Keon Coleman, especially in the Cincinnati Bengals. But
if it wasn't for character, I think I would have Jermaine Burton over Xavier Worthy in my wide receiver ranks
Worthy's got the production profile. He's got the draft capital. He's got
you're going to be so heartbroken. I'm just going to say it.
Listen,
I love you, but Brad, I'm there with you with Ladd McConkey. I think Ladd's, I underrated him. I like him a lot better, digging deeper into his more his efficiency and giving him a little bit of a pass for some of the production issues because of the injuries. Yeah. But Ladd he can run everything. He can do everything. Xavier Worthy cannot do everything. And he has very suspect hands, just like Troy Franklin. That's where those two kind of drop, because I don't see much of a difference. I don't care if you run a 4.21 or 4.39. Like, that's fast. Whatever. That fast is fast. Like, I don't really care if you run a tenth of a second, without any pads on, with nobody coming bearing down and knock your head off. Like, it's what you do in the games. And to me, I think he has concentration drops because he is afraid to get smashed, because he is a smaller guy. And I think he has a lot of concentration jobs. That if he could fix that in the NFL, he's going to be a smash. You're going to hit. You're going to love him. I don't think he could change that mentality going into the NFL. That's just me though.
So we're talking about Worthy?
Yeah.
Specifically? I mean,
Worthy's just a little.
Yeah, Worthy's got the production though. Like we talked about,
but he also has terrible drops, and he just I'm telling you, like the way they use him was very gimmicky in Texas. I think KC has definitely
Brandon, you can't on one hand say Adonai Mitchell was misused in Texas because of a crappy offensive scheme, and then go and say that Worthy was just a gimmicky type player. Like he was still successful.
What I'm saying is that AD Mitchell has a wider variety of positions that he could play just because of the size aspect of him. I think you could move him inside without knowing him doing it in college. I think you could try and do that with him. I don't think you could do that with Worthy. I think Worthy is strictly a speedster off the line of scrimmage kind of guy. And I think he's going to need a lot of help to get open, but he's in KC. So like, that he landed in a great spot, but he's going to have to fight with Marquise Brown for the similar targets and similar kind of role. So like, I'm actually kind of shocked that they decided to double tap on the same kind of archetype in Kansas City. So I think he's going to be fighting that. And then when Rice comes back off of his sixth game, it's going to be even more convoluted. And I don't know. I think AD Mitchell's dead. Like he's dead now. Like he's dead. I don't think he's going to be anything in Dynasty now because of where he went. So I'm fading him right now. So even though I'm a fan of like his traits, I think I'm fading him right now.
Well, I mean, AD Mitchell is just outside the grips. I mean, I have AD Mitchell baked in here at a 212. So it's
that makes sense.
I think that's about right. I mean, really, like I have him in a tier with Marshawn Lloyd and Jalen Polk. I have Jalen Polk slightly ahead of him just because of the draft capital. And really the opportunity, right? Like to your point, Adonai Mitchell, he's pretty buried on the Colts. But listen, range of outcomes here, if you look at just because of the opportunity that a player like Worthy is going to get, if you were to roll the dice 100 times, I guarantee you Worthy is going to have a more productive career more often than not than a player like Jermaine Burton. Like that's just,
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, it is what it is. I mean, we talk about situation.
We're going to talk in 3 years.
All right. We're definitely talking through. Hey, listen, I got Worthy. Worthy fell to like the 2.3 in this Adam draft. And he was my first pick in this
draft. That's actually where he should go. And like, I've been seeing him up in the 108s. I've seen him at 108, 109, quite a bit. So
I haven't baked at 1.9. I haven't baked at 1.9. So this is what I'm comfortable with. And I promise we will get to these late picks playing the flamboy.
We're just 15
minutes. I feel like, Clip's talking about a fanboy. I'm not a fanboy for Xavier Worthy. I think he's a fine prospect. I just think the hate in this Discord of Matt and Brandon, the hate towards Worthy is unfathomed. So I find I'm always coming to the defense of this player. Yet despite the fact that the players that you guys were high on, some of them, like not everybody, obviously, like Brian Thomas has the draft capital, but guys like Jermaine Burton, guys like Adonai Mitchell, that especially Matt was particularly high on. And he was saying, no, Adonai is going to be a first round pick. And I was saying, no, he cannot be a first round pick.
Hey, he wasn't the only one. I mean, Adam Schefter thought he was going to be a top 20 pick. So.
Yeah, but that's just, I don't know. That's just, listen, sometimes when it doesn't pass the smell test, and football teams can be irrational. Football teams can be irresponsible, which is shocking considering how much money and time they put into this process. But sometimes we just get back to the basics and say, okay, is this guy productive on the football field?
Sure.
If he is, why is he productive? Like an Xavier Leggett, okay? Why is he productive in that 1 year? You have to kind of peel back that onion. If he is not productive, but he has a lot of the traits that suggest he could be productive,
right?
What is the circumstances around that, right? So context absolutely matters, right?
Yeah.
And a guy like Xavier Worthy, the reason I like him and the reason I think where I'm comfortable drafting him is end of the first, top of the second. Like, listen, I have him in a tier with Brian Thomas and Jonathan Brooks. If you want to take either one of those players, because Brian Thomas, my God, the upside for that player is insane, right? especially because I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a bit of a renaissance this year. Like everything is lining up for Trevor Lawrence to have a massive, massive season. And the fact that nobody's really talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars because they haven't done much for the last few years, fly under that radar, T-Law, and just go and absolutely destroy fantasy football with BTJ. But then Jonathan Brooks, in my opinion, I think you'd agree, Jonathan Brooks is probably the top tier running back in this class. Yep. I mean, obviously he has an ACL issue, but that's a comfortable tier for me. Now, in my next tier, I've got Ladd McConkey, Bo Nix, Trey Benson, Ricky Pearsall, Keon Coleman, and Michael Penix. So it's a pretty big tier there, but I could argue any one of those players above any of the three players we just talked about. Like you can make an argument for these guys, right?
Sure.
But that's why they're all in that little pick your poison. A lot of the times we only have one or two rookie picks. Pick your poison, pick your guy. But Brandon, I think this is a good way to say let's transition to as you get later in drafts, I'm more comfortable having higher percentage of exposure over my dynasty leagues, going and getting our guys in rounds 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
And these are the types of player we want to talk about. So listen, yes. I know we've already talked a lot about Jermaine Burton, but let's just kind of put a bow on that conversation. You have Jermaine Burton going. Now, my question to you, Brandon, is right now I've got him baked in at the 3.3, and that's about what his ADP is. So I'm comfortable taking him at his ADP. I feel like that's a solid value. But is there anything we talked about of Jermaine Burton that you haven't mentioned yet? Now, just for the people, because I know that especially for our DFS Army folks, maybe fantasy football this time of year isn't your main focus, but he was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals at pick 3.16. He was at Alabama for his last season in college. And he is, I would say not old, but he's 22.8, which means he'll be 23 when the season starts this year. So he's getting up there in age, but we do know that at the wide receiver position, you can go play to your 27, 28 and still be extremely, extremely productive. So tell me a little bit more about Jermaine Burton
that
we haven't talked about yet.
So I think what people want to see from Jermaine Burton, which I think he has in his repertoire, but he wasn't asked to do it, is that his success rate with flats, slants, screens, and curl routes are all above 85%. So that success rate with those routes. But guess what? With Alabama, they didn't run them that way. He literally ran those routes the very least. With the flat route, he only ran it 4.5% of the time. Slant route, he only ran it 11.1% of the time. Screen, 1% of the time. Curl, only 14.1% of the time. He ran 9 routes, almost 22% of the time, and dig routes 15% of the time, and corner routes at a higher rate. So that is where I think he is going to actually round out his route tree a lot more, and he'll get asked to do more of that, being that he is going to be going to the Bengals where Tyler Boyd, he'll be taking probably more of the Tyler Boyd role, which is more of those slants, curl routes, comebacks. All those will be part of his tree now. And if he can round out that and be successful, I mean, he killed it with those other routes versus man. He was 86th percentile against man coverage. So that is right there next to like Marvin Harrison Jr., right there next to Rome Odunze. Like that is elite kind of separation versus man coverage. So that is why I like him so much, is that man, like when it's tight windows, he wins and he works it out. He figures out how to do that. He's a pro at how to do that and uncover late, much like you know, who was really good at crafty at doing that was Tank Dell last year. Same thing with Jermaine Burton. He has very crafty when it comes to those kind of routes. And I think he's going to be asked to do more in the pro game. And like I said, next year, this year is not going to be his high ceiling year. This year is going to be more about learning and developing. So in 2025, that's when he's going to make this massive jump. And we can predict that because T. Higgins is on his last year. They just franchised him. They are not bringing him back. What they decided to do was groom Jermaine Burton for this role and for that outside flanker role that T likes to run. And so I think Burton's going to be that guy and actually be a little bit more explosive with some of those routes. T's not nearly as fast as Jermaine. Jermaine ran a 4.45. T is more of a 4.5 guy, boundary. Like I think Burton has a lot of unlimited untapped potential, especially with the Bengals, and that they coach wide receiver position well there. So I like the fit. It's going to be awesome. I'm taking him. I took him right before my other, one of my other deep stash guys. I'll hint at the next one. It was a running back. I'll talk about that. Mike, our boy Mike D took him with the very next pick in that draft. He was very sharp for doing so. But yeah, Jermaine Burton's a dog, man. I like him a lot. I'm taking shots on him.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issues taking a shot on Jermaine Burton right around this sweet spot, early round three. Just to, I guess, to kind of close that out. I mean, listen, when we talk about a player like Jermaine Burton, this is a player where hopefully you have a taxi squad, because you want to put him on your taxi squad, because you're probably not.
Yep.
I mean, there's always a range of possibilities, but you're probably not going to get a lot of fantasy points out of him this season. This is a next season type play. Now, my question to you, Brandon, is how long do you hang on to a player like this? Like, these are the kind of guys where, if they, in my opinion, if they don't pop relatively early when they're given the opportunity. So this year, okay, let's let them percolate. We're sitting in 2025 and it's October and Jermaine Burton hasn't done much. Like, how much longer are you going to be hanging on to this player when you now have?
I'll probably give him till like week 8 to 10 in the second year to get it going. But honestly, I think he's going to have instant splash plays this year.
Okay.
He's going to smash man single coverage with T and Chase. So he's going to have splash plays. And when that happens, people are going to go, oh man. And then they're going to start trading for him. So just get him now. And then once he does have some splash plays, which he will, you can sell him off. You'll have a sell window. If you don't want to sell him and hold, I'm holding for 2 years. I think Jermaine Burton's a 2-year play for me. And I think he's going to be put in that JSN kind of, he's going to be buried a little bit, but he's going to be worth it in the end.
You know who he kind of reminds me of, just in terms of like the situation, the athleticism, I'd say kind of the production, but like a Jonathan Mingo, who's drafted by Carolina, right? So this is one of these players where we didn't expect Jonathan Mingo to necessarily have a lot of year one impact, but the fact that he didn't do anything in year two either, that's when I'm comfortable to cut bait, because when you're looking at these rookie drafts and you're trying to always percolate and transition, you always want that lottery ticket, right? So a player like Jermaine Burton, he's got a lot of sex appeal, and he's going to be one of these guys where it might be tough, say, in November or December of 2025, next year. So a long time from now. But he's going to be one of these guys that's going to be challenging to cut. But he's one of these guys where you have to be able to say, I'm ripping the Band-Aid off. He hasn't done anything now for a season and a half. He's probably not going to do something. Mm-hmm. Typically, if a rookie doesn't do much in the first season of the rookie campaign, they're not going to have a productive career unless you can contextualize it, in which case you can. T. Higgins, etc. So okay, sounds good, man. I'm on board with the Jermaine Burton train. Now I am looking more so at a player that I'm comfortable taking probably late round three, early round four, and oftentimes he's falling to round four because he's not the most athletic running back in the draft. But I'm talking about my guy Ray Davis. I'm starting to get a ton of exposure to this player as we're starting to go through our rookie drafts. And I think because of players like the Kamani Vidals of the world, like the Dylan Labbies of the world, right? These guys have like that sex appeal. We're going to talk about the Giants rookie running back a little bit later on the show today. Ooh. But a player like Ray Davis, listen, when you talk about Jermaine Burton, we just talked about, who we're looking for 2025 pop appeal, I'm looking at 2024 pop appeal for Ray Davis, because the man is 24 and a half years old.
Yeah.
So he's not a young man. When you look at he's a young man in real world perspective, but when you're looking at fantasy football perspective, especially at the running back position, 24 is the age apex for the running back. Typically their career is downhill from there. So the fact that he's so cheap, this is a player that I'm hoping to put on my squad. And in the event that one, we see the usage actually materialize, like Latavius Murray last year for the Buffalo Bills didn't really do squat, right? They brought him in as an early down back and goal line back. He didn't even really do that. So Ray Davis is obviously going to be the replacement for that type of role. But what I like is the fact that he does that role very, very well. Okay. He is a bruiser. He's a perfect complement, in my opinion, to James Cook. I think you and I were in on James Cook, and obviously, we were roasted because of that. He didn't do much in his rookie season, but he looked very good last year. But he's not the type of player, 63% opportunities last year. They're going to have a committee back in Buffalo. Now, the thing that we're always going for with this type of prospect is the touchdown upside, right? Because getting, I don't know, 13 carries for 80 yards and maybe one reception doesn't really do too much in our fantasy football leagues, right? It doesn't do squat when you're getting 9 points, but you're going for the touchdown upside. So obviously the risk becomes, well, if Josh Allen is going to be taking the majority of those rushes on the goal line, and maybe they want to put in James Cook for passing situations to confuse the defense, well, then Ray Davis might not have a clear role. The thing I like about Ray Davis, though, Brandon, is the fact that he's not just a one-trick pony. He does have soft hands. He does have the ability to catch the ball. Last year, 32 receptions for 324 yards. Year before that, in 2022, 29 receptions for 169 yards. I like to think about like that Mendoza line is like 25 receptions is where I say, okay, this guy's a competent pass catcher. So they can have him on the goal line, on the 3-yard line. They can either run him up the middle, and he's very successful. When I look at his gap schemes, he is very successful up the gaps because they use his big body. But he can also play out wide. Of the attempts for the gap schemes, he had 91 attempts where they actually ran him out wide, right? Even though he's slow as sin, he's only ran a 4.5 240. But for his size, it's pretty respectable. Still 70th percentile in terms of speed. So he's not fast.
He's Jordan Howard, dude.
Yeah, he's Jordan
Howard. He reminds me of Jordan Howard.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect comp. And Jordan Howard had his role in fantasy football. So that's the type of player that I'm going to be going for. So typically, I've only had to pay the fourth round draft price for a guy like Ray Davis, but I haven't baked in at 3.8. So that's pretty much, if you look at my rookie rankings, again, go to the Discord at DFS Army, and you'll see the back around three, it's just like boom, 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 all running backs. That's where I want to start hammering the shit out of the running back position. And Ray Davis is up there in terms of a player that I'm certainly targeting late in my drafts. What do you think, Brendan?
I get it. I'm with you on getting as many of these late running backs as possible in these drafts. Because when they hit, they're lottery tickets for your squads coming off the taxi squad to put you up to, you know, 12, 15 points out of nowhere is going to be huge for you. And being a part of the Bills, like I said, I really think there's going to be a shift in Buffalo in philosophy. I really do. I really think they are deciding we are going to win in the playoffs. We don't give a shit about the air raid offense in the regular season that's going to make Josh Allen MVP. What's going to make him a Super Bowl champion is actually having a balanced offense where they can actually control the games, control the clock. And I think they learned their lesson, man. I really do. I think they're shifting to a rush-based offense. James Cook is going to be on fire this year. But Ray Davis, like you said, with the signing of Leonard Fournette, with the signing of Latavius Murray, those guys just were cooked. They had no effect. And with Ray Davis, he's going to have fresh legs and he's going to be able to succeed in whatever role they give him. And who knows on how much they're going to try and protect Josh Allen. But only thing with Ray Davis to me is the red flag to me is I don't like taking running backs with rushing quarterbacks. I don't like to do that. Yeah. Give me those running backs that are with a Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins. Give me those running backs. Those guys are, you know what I mean? Like those are the running backs I love. So that's the only red flag to me, but Ray Davis is a Matt special. Matt was on him pre-draft. He loves Ray Davis. He thinks he's one of the most complete backs in the draft. So I hear you. I'm right there with you. I get what you're saying.
When you think like traditional old school running back, like that's Ray Davis, man. Like that's just the style that he plays. And I like that type of player. And what I like, you know, like I'm a BMI snob. I talk about it all the time. He's got a 32.1 BMI, which is an 88th percentile. So he's a freaking brick wall, man. But he's only 5'8", 211. So it's not like he is like an AJ Dillon type, like slow plotter type player. Like this guy has a little bit of burst. So I like it. All right. Give me another one, Brandon.
Talk about some burst and some sex appeal. Let's talk about Kamani Vidal. This man out of this guy out of Troy is awesome. Height is 5'8", weight 213. Ran a 4.46. I love that. I love that archetype. He is literally a clone of J.K. Dobbins. And guess who's who he's behind in L.A. Chargerland? Yeah. It's J.K. Dobbins. And so when J.K. Dobbins breaks, Kamani Vidal is going to just come in and take that job. And I really think by year's end, I think this is his job in L.A. Chargerland. I think he takes it from Gus Edwards. I think he takes it from J.K. Dobbins. I think this guy has real burst and real ability to catch the football. Had a 7.5% target rate in college. I think he can catch the football. I think he can run it great. I think this is a perfect scheme fit, man. I really do. I think just like how the Bills are going to start running the ball, I think the LA Chargers are going to kick it old school, dude. I think it's going to be all about the run game. They got Joe Alt. They are going to be running motherfuckers over and grinding the clock and trying to keep Patrick Mahomes off the damn field when he's playing the Kansas City Chiefs. I think this is all building up for Kamani Vidal to come in and take that job and never give it back. And they just found their new Eckler again. And they're going to have a 3-down back. And guess what? What keeps rookies off the field the most? What keeps rookies off the field? It's motherfucking pass protection. Go watch Vidal do pass protection. This dude is a dog. He's 4-year starter, running back, has all the experience. Give me as much Vidal as possible. I love him. He is going to be that dude that comes out of the basement in rookie drafts that comes in and produces big numbers. Like, it's funny because I just pulled up his player profiler. Guess who they got him fucking comp to? Fucking Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco. Yeah. Literally Isaiah Pacheco. And guess who Mike D was all over before anybody? I mean anybody with Pacheco. It was Mike Dickinson. And guess who Mike Dickinson drafted behind me after I took Burton? Fucking Kamani Vidal. And it's because of the traits. Mike has a process. He has a trait. He has traits that he follows. And that trait is Kamani Vidal for the Chargers, baby. I'm all in.
Yeah. You know why, Mike Yeag, why I live in my basement? So that I can grind fantasy football content
for you
and the people. Yeah. Here's the thing I love so much about Kamani Vidal, Brandon. So we just talked about the Buffalo Bills and how they have kind of a diverse looking running back room. When you look at the Chargers running back room, like, they got a type. They got Gus Edwards, they got Kamani Vidal, and they got J.K. Dobbins, all new to the team this year, which essentially is saying, okay, Harbaugh is going to say, listen, here it is. We got one spot.
Go win.
There's this classic scene. Like, okay, I'm gonna go all out nerd on you guys here for a little bit. Okay, so I'm rewatching the old the Batman franchise, the one with Christian Bale, right? And I'm watching, in my opinion, the greatest superhero movie of all time, The Dark Knight. So the second movie, and there's this one scene where the Joker comes in, and essentially he's like, we're aggressively recruiting, and there's just three other thugs. He breaks the pool stick and says, we got one spot available, right? That, to me, is the Chargers running back room. You got three dudes that look very, very similar. One guy's coming off ongoing knee injuries. You've got one guy who's 29 years old with Gus Edwards, and you got the young pup, Kamani Vidal, which last I checked, Brandon, please fact check me here. But Troy is indeed, I'm looking at you, Kipler Jesus, a small school, correct?
Very small school.
Yes. It's a very small school. I got you, Clip. So listen, you take these young, productive, athletic running backs that were in small schools later in class, and you say, just go. Just have at it, man.
Yep.
And listen, I think the word's kind of out on Kamani Vidal for anybody who out there who's consuming a lot of fantasy football content, which we like to do that, Brandon. He's become a very popular name, so you might have to take him mid round three, likely. That's kind of where he's going.
Oh yeah, but top of the round three, baby. Top of
round
three.
But I'd say that's worth it, right? Just when you look at the opportunity, look at the fact that Harbaugh wants to run the damn ball. He's telling us with their actions they want to run the ball. long
game. Sell Justin Herbert. Sell Justin Herbert. Sell Justin Herbert. Buy Ladd McConkey and buy Kamani Vidal. That's what I'm going to say about the Chargers. Get the brand name recognition. Get the value out of Justin Herbert before he's not even a top 12 quarterback this year.
That's the right answer, by the way, Mike. We consume lots of Flex Network and DFS Army content. That is the damn right answer, man. So I appreciate that. Okay, let's transition a little bit here to another position, because we've talked a lot about the running back position. We've talked the wide receiver position. And I think that it's later in drafts, particularly in our tight end premium leagues, which we strongly suggest, because otherwise the tight end position, in my opinion, is irrelevant, right? There's just so much lack of value. And a player that I think you and I are both pretty high on, especially when you're, like, I've got him baked in at pick 4.4, and you can get him pretty comfortably there, but that's Theo Johnson, the tight end that was drafted by the New York Giants. He comes out of Penn State.
Yeah.
They have a type. Okay, so let's just look about who is Theo Johnson. He's 6'6", 259 pounds. He's a big dude. He's super athletic. He is the most athletic player, tight end player, in the class this year. This is per playerprofiler.com. This is just pure athleticism. He's got a 93rd percentile 40-yard dash, a 98th percentile speed score, a 96th percentile burst score, a 77th percentile agility score, and a 98th percentile catch radius. The man is an athletic freak, okay? One of the players we liked last year, he ended up battling some injuries, but his best comparable player on playerprofiler.com is Luke Musgrave. You look at similar other players, Jimmy Graham, Foster Moreau, who we did like as a prospect, didn't really pan out. Daniel Bellinger, same deal, and then Luke Schoonmaker, right? So he has the athletic traits to be a productive tight end. Now, he didn't really produce much in college, okay? They didn't really use him as a great pass catcher in college, which is always a little bit worrisome, but I feel like, generally speaking, for the tight end position, most college teams don't know how to use him properly, right? Like, there's a few players, but...
I'll just say this. If you want to watch some Theo film, watch it when Will Levis was there throwing the ball to him a little bit. He was able to hit him in the seams, real some good NFL throws. You'll be able to see it.
Yeah, and so the talent is there, and really what it comes down to as well is the opportunity. Okay, so the fact that Daniel Bellinger is still there, and yes, you can sell him, Mike. Bellinger, I don't think there's an opportunity for him at this point, especially because
I think it's over for him.
They essentially drafted Theo Johnson to be his replacement, right? Like, they are very similar prospects,
and so it's just, and Waller's retiring, isn't he? He's supposed to be retiring.
It's not official.
It's not official yet.
It's not official yet. I can see it being one of those, like, I'm not sure. I don't have the capping implications ahead of me, but oftentimes there's implications if he does it post June 1, right? Because then they can take his contract, his dead cap, and spread it out over 2 years. Versus if he does it now, he has to record it in 2024 season. So I can kind of see a wink, wink, nudge, nudge sort of thing, where like come June 1st or June 2nd, he officially does retire. And so then you look at the opportunity and listen, like, the Giants team in general, like, yes, they have a pretty studly young rookie wide receiver that they just drafted this year. But other than that, there's not a lot of competition for targets. Right.
Nope.
And so when you look at that, a player like Theo Johnson, a player like Malik Nabers, they're going to be very dominant. Now, I feel like you were a little bit higher on Jalin Hyatt, but it was really Matt that was the Jalin Hyatt truther in this league. I still like Wandale Robinson, but Wandale's
pretty good
playing the slot. Right. So they're slowly starting to improve this offense, but Daniel Jones, as much as he's got a lot of haters out there, he's still a competent, middling NFL quality quarterback, right? So he can still make players, in my opinion, fantasy relevant. I'm kind of hoping that Theo Johnson can be, but here's the thing, right? The cost is so low. You throw him on your taxi squad, and if you want to promote him this year, awesome, because he's doing something. But chances are you'll have to be a little bit patient with him, just like we talked about with Jermaine Burton. But there's not a lot of opportunity. And then in the running back room, there's Singletary, and then there's one other guy that we want to get some shares of. So let me throw it to you. Let's talk about our next stash guy we want to talk about.
Brother, you are the best. Tyrone Tracy Jr. Is going to end up beating out everybody for that job and is going to end up being the RB1 for the New York Giants. If you look at comps for what Tyrone Tracy was, from from what I thought he was. I thought he was more of a smaller Antonio Gibson coming out, but Player Profiler has Rashad White as a best comparable player for him. He's 5'11", 209, ran a 4.48. The great thing I love about him is this. He had a late breakout, though, but there's a reason. He has an excuse. His excuse is that he was a wide receiver in college. He transitioned to being a running back, and when he did that in his last year, then it happened for him. But in college, he still garnered a 9.1% college target share out of the running back position. That's 73rd percentile. That's damn good, man. I'm all for it. I think there's nobody in that room that's going to even scare him athletically. I think once he gets into camp and he flashes that speed and that size, and he has some hands because he was a wide receiver, I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to keep him off the damn field. They're not going to be able to. I am getting Tyrone Tracy as much as I can in the fourth round of these rookie drafts because, I think Devin Singletary, yeah, Daboll coached Singletary with the Bills. There is that relationship that Tyrone Tracy is going to have to overcome. But I think Daboll knows that his job is on the fucking line. So whoever is going to get him the ball in the damn end zone is going to get the ball, I think. And I think Devin Singletary is damn good, but I think there's still very good opportunity for Tyrone Tracy to take a large share of the passing downs and then on third down. And I think he's athletic enough to where he might be able to do some more things for people with a bad line than a Singletary can. So let's see if he can win this job. And if he does, it's a fucking home run. You're getting a starting running back as like you can literally take Tyrone Tracy at like the 404, 405, 403. Like
he's starting to move up
because people are starting to get smart, man, because there's nobody there. Devin Singletary ain't shit, man. And I'm telling you, Tyrone Tracy has the traits. I love explosive backs, especially we were the guys that brought you Antonio Gibson when he was coming out of Memphis. I like running backs that were wide receivers at some point. So give me some Tyrone. I think Tyrone has a real opportunity here. And honestly, with running backs, I like opportunity and traits better than better production and going to the Rams like a Blake Corum. A Blake Corum is fucked with Kyron Williams there. I think they're both going to cannibalize each other. Kyron Williams is still a damn good player. I don't think he's suddenly the RB2 there. I think he's the RB1, but I think Blake Corum is getting drafted in the mid-second round right now. What a wasted pick. It's a wasted pick to do that. Why would you do – that's a capped player. Like, why – I want upside when I'm taking my backs. Give me Jalen Wright over Blake Corum every single day of the week, and I can argue – to take Kamani Vidal and Tyrone Tracy over a Blake Corum, even with the pedigree of a Blake Corum.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Really, especially, I think more than any other position, like it's the opportunity that's going to lead to fantasy points is its running back position because it is so replaceable. But to your point, the thing I like about Tyrone Tracy is that not only is he a fantastic pass catcher because, hey, he used to play wide receiver, but his yards per carry in college was still 6.3 yards, which is still very good. That's 82nd percentile. Okay. You look at his agility score, right? So his just elusiveness overall, it's a 96th percentile. So the one thing I will caution you on and caution us all on with Tyrone Tracy and our love for Tyrone Tracy is that when, when we talk about, like, remember when James Cook was drafted and he was sitting behind Devin Singletary and everything on paper said James Cook should take the starting role in year one ahead of Devin Singletary. But what we didn't know was that Devin Singletary has photos of every coaching staff in the NFL. So whichever team he goes to, for whatever reason,
it's so obviously true.
Jokes aside, Devin Singletary must be like the coach's pet. He probably like he just does a lot of the little things well. And even though he's undersized, even though he's not exactly the most athletic player, he often is going to get opportunity, right? So I will say, let's just be a little bit patient with Tyrone Tracy. If he's not the starting running back by October, like, don't just cut Tyrone Tracy. And that's
no,
I guess, the whole premise for the show. But he's the type of player, when given the opportunity, he could absolutely smash. And the thing about, like, I like about Tracy is because of his size, you know, he's 5'11", 209 pounds, 29.1 BMI. I like 30 for my running backs, but 29 is not bad. He's the kind of player, in my humble opinion, that once he takes on that lead role, he will not give it back. He's going to become, like, to start out, he might get 30% opportunity share because Devin Singletary is getting 60%, and then it's, you know, right, all the backup running backs are going to get sprinkled in there. But slowly, as the season goes on, Tracy's going to get more and more of that opportunity. In the event that there is an injury to Singletary, obviously don't wish injuries, contingent upside moon is absolutely massive.
To the moon.
Once he gets that starting job, he's not going to give it back. He's not going to concede it. So I love Tyrone Tracy. Actually, I'm always kind of tweaking my rookie rankings. I've been through a few drafts now, and I'm pretty comfortable with them. But a player that I was glaringly low on, Brandon, was Tyrone Tracy. So I brought him way, way up in my rookie rankings.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love opportunity, baby. Give me opportunity with running backs. I love instant opportunity, and especially when they got traits like that, dude. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, let's do it.
So this is where I have him baked in. I have him baked in at the 4.2 right now. I have him right behind Isaac Arendo just because of that upside. We talked about,
yep,
like you just said, a player like running backs that I want, San Francisco 49ers. Yes, there's a guy named Christian McCaffrey, but hey, listen, there still could be potential opportunity. And then right ahead of Braylon Allen. So again, it's all about opportunity. These guys are backups to start, but Braylon Allen, I think pre-draft, buried, like he's got a lot of sex appeal, but he's probably a one trick pony, right? I mean, he could be similar to a Ray Davis. Like, you can make the same argument for Ray Davis, but I don't know.
I'm just going to say this with Braylon Allen, like, he was a linebacker. He transferred into being a running back. First time he ever played running back was in college. So he looked that way. And then he was instantly a stud year one, doing it for the very first time. So I'll just say that as a 17-year-old kid. So I'm just going to say this. With teams not wanting to pay running backs,
yeah,
I know Breece Hall is amazing. I fucking know. Don't come at me. I know. Breece Hall is a dog. He's unbelievable. But if they can't get him re-signed, why not take a flyer on a Braylon Allen that's so young, train him up through the whole thing? And by the time, if they had to move on from Breece, by that time he's still only 23 years old, and you train him up to being your back. I'm just saying that. Like, that's like the best case scenario for Braylon Allen. That's it.
Yeah, and it's funny because we just talked about two 24-year-old running backs that are rookies in the NFL. Braylon Allen's 20. Okay, he's a full 4 years. He's over 4 years younger than Tyrone Tracy. Okay, so that's the bull case for a guy like Braylon Allen, for sure. But we're not talking about him on the show. But I have no issues. I love getting some shares of Braylon Allen. And I don't know, man. Like, this is probably dumb for me to say, but he didn't go drafted in our 4-round rookie draft in the Adam draft we just finished. And I guarantee you, he's going to be probably the top waiver wire transaction. So
sure,
get your shekels out, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I got one player left that I want to talk about before the end of the show here. And this is a player, I would say, I guess I kind of have a type here, and this is Audric Estime. Okay. So he was drafted 5.2 to the Denver Broncos. And really what it comes down to is similar to these other players. I loved Audric Estime's profile. Like, I don't know. There's certain players that I just gravitate to when you're going and you're watching their tape. He's got the production, he's got the metrics, but then you just go and, like, he just looks good when he's on the field. And what's this guy's a bit of an enigma, because you look at his 40-yard dash and he's slow as F. He ran a 4.71 40-yard dash, which is a 17th percentile. Dude's big. He's 5'11", 221 pounds. That's still only a 29th percentile speed score, okay? So that's not great. However, Brandon, he might not have the long speed, but one, when you watch the film, he definitely did break away, right? So take that for what it is.
But he jumps people too.
Has an 80. Well, this is it. He has an 87th percentile burst score. So the man just boom, take a step, and he's going to be getting, he's going to go and get you yards. Again, 6.4 yards per carry. I wouldn't call him an elite pass catcher. He only had a 5.4% college target share. So that's not what he's going to be used for. But I don't know, man. It's similar. Like a Notre Dame type running back, like the Wisconsin running backs, these northern running backs that can play in the cold. And then you go and you look, he was drafted at a team like the Denver Broncos, where come winter, guess what? You're in Denver, Brandon.
Yeah.
Denver knows winter. Okay.
Yes.
So he's going to be a great player. And as much as we love Javonte Williams coming out as a prospect every year, he's almost become truth or status for us, right? Just because it's like that. There's so much potential with a Javonte. He just hasn't quite hit. Okay. Right. And we saw it. Yeah. We saw it with the quarterback. Russ wasn't hitting. They moved on from him. Okay. So Javonte is still there, but Ray Davis is going to get that opportunity. And I guarantee you, they're going to be going into OTAs and camp. And yes, maybe Javonte is going to get that first opportunity, but it's going to be Audric Estime is going to have that opportunity. And so at worst case, he is a late round pick. You're drafting him in the fourth or the fifth round of your rookie drafts. And he's going to be a great handcuff for Javonte Williams. So that's a player kind of just to put a bow on the show. So maybe we could just kind of like we're teetering on an hour here, Brandon, but any players that we didn't talk about today that you find you're taking now that we've gone through, you said five rookie drafts that you've got players you're targeting in rounds 3, 4, 5. So just real quick, a few players you want off the top of your head here.
I've been going back and forth with drafting either this is the trio, Burton, Vidal, and Baker. Those are the three. I've been a big Javon Baker guy. I just don't like the landing spot. But if he is set up for instant role, because there is nobody really there, and he is the best X wide receiver they got there. So he's going to be on the field locked in no matter what on the boundary. So he will have opportunity. It's just up to Drake May. I'm just not a big Drake May guy. You know this, yeah. But yeah. Those three right there are like, it's like children. It's very hard for me to figure out who I want out of those three. So, but yeah. I've been getting a shit ton of Tyrone Tracy. I love Tyrone Tracy. I just stole him in one of our startups. And I can't be happy enough about it, because I think he is, after week 8, man, I'm telling you, he might be the running back to own in for the Giants, period.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think, were you asking for Estime's BMI? It's 30.8,
no. So
it's...
I will say this. Estime. No,
Clip was asking. Sorry, Clip was asking for BMI. So yeah, that's what it is.
I think Audric Estime is literally a little bit slower of a James Conner. That's it. So I think he can be a guy. Like I think he could be a guy. I think it's in him to do that. I mean, he is rated the number one running back on PFF for a reason. Like he's that guy. Like he's very good player. I loved his style of running. I just love Javonte Williams, and I think a year after coming back from that massive injury he had to his knee, I think it'll help him out being even further out from it. So I'm hoping JW gets it going, but dude, Audric Estime is going to be putting the pressure on him 100%, and I like that you called that out, Shane.
Yes. Okay. Just because I do have a love affair with this Audric Estime player. So PFF grade, you noted it, 94.2. Yeah. He had 1,341 rushing yards last year. He had 18 rushing touchdowns. He still had 17 receptions for 142 yards. He's just a good player. I mean, he's just a football
player. He's a football player. Football player. Football player. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Okay, so going back to the conversation about Javon Baker, I haven't baked in at 3.5. I'm super comfortable there. So, yeah, so he was drafted. He was the second drafted wide receiver by the New England Patriots. Jalen Polk, of course, was drafted in round 2. Man, I know it's a whole new regime in New England, but it's like, I like him, but like, to me, he's not a second round pick. It's just like, it's just infuriating sometimes. But here's the thing. What if Drake May is good? If Drake May is good, and you look at that depth chart, I mean, who the Patriots have right now? We've got Jalen Polk. We've got Kendrick Bourne. We've got KJ Osborne. We've got DeMario Douglas. Frankly, DeMario Douglas out of that group is probably the best. Kendrick Bourne has his moments, but really it's the new regime. It's Jalen Polk. It's going to be Javon Baker. Hunter Henry, I think, is a low-key, he's kind of that Mendoza line. Like if you're in your best ball drafts, like I'm comfortable taking, if you just completely punt the position, Hunter Henry is a decent upside play. But really what it's going to come down to is Drake May going to be good? Jury's still out. I mean, he's got a lot of potential, but he's raw. He's got to improve his accuracy. So a player like Javon Baker, a player like Jalen Polk, they can get the yards after the catch. They can make things happen. So I don't know. I'm still cautiously optimistic. They still have Ramondre Stevenson. They've got Kevin Harrison, Antonio Gibson. So I feel like they're going to still want to run the ball. But Javon Baker, he's a sexy player. I like him a lot as well. A few players that I like, we talked about him on the show. I've got Troy Franklin baked in at 3.1. Drafted, of course, by the Denver Broncos. To me, like, I know he didn't look great at the combine. I've already talked about this. We've talked about this on past shows. He had the flu, guys. Okay, so I don't know about you. If you're sick, like, that hurts. You just look at the tape. He looks fantastic. Some of the underlying metrics aren't the best.
So good. But
Troy Franklin, he's just a stud. He's just – I love him. I think he's going to be fantastic. And he's young. He's only 21 years old. Okay, so I'm definitely on board there. Ben Sinnott, he's a decent – if he was drafted to the tight end – at the tight end position to the Washington Commanders. Decent dart throw there. I like Will Shipley, running back who's drafted by Philadelphia Eagles. I like Bucky Irving at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucky's kind of just a decent guy, but they don't have a huge depth chart. We've already talked about Dylan Lobby a bunch on the show. And then we got to shout this man out. We're going to shout him out every single time we're on the show. We're talking about rookies. If you have a fourth-round pick, I know we say go for running back in round four, but if you decide, I don't want to play that game. I want to go and get a player that just makes my pants move a little bit, and that is Malik Washington, drafted by the Miami Dolphins. I love Malik Washington. Yes, he's the three on that team.
He's good.
But he's the kind of guy where I'm comfortable having him be a roster clogger on my team for a couple of years before he pops. So that's it. Let's get the hell out of here, Brandon. Another fantastic show. Have you started to dabble in the sweet, beautiful art that is best ball drafts yet, Brandon?
Not too much. No, I've been gambling a playoff hockey. That's what I've been doing. I've been crushing. So like, I honestly think the bookies are awful with hockey and really good with football. And I've made so much more money in hockey than football. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting. I've got a buddy who he's like really into the gambling and he's good at it. And he says by far his most profitable sport is hockey. He's an absolute guru with hockey. And then you talk about DFS. Like we do have DFS hockey over at dfsarmy.com, and it's typically one of the softer draft rooms as well. So, that if you know hockey, like there's definitely an opportunity to make a few shekels there. I don't know.
Here's a little parlay for everybody. Over for the Avalanche game tonight. Nathan MacKinnon to score, and also Val Nichushkin to score. That's a nice little parlay over, and with it'll be a Avalanche win as well. So stack that up, throw $25 on it. You might make some money.
There you go, BD. The reason I bring up the best ball is because we are going to start transitioning a little bit away from the rookie talk and more so towards best balls and season long content. And then obviously how the rookies play into those drafts. Spoiler alert, there's still a ton of great value, especially at the running back position for rookies and drafts. I feel like at the top, there's not the best for the wide receiver position because a lot of the top-end talent guys like the Malik Nabers, like the Marvin Harrisons, are already pretty much baked into about where I'm comfortable to take them. But at the running back position, man, especially the guys we talked about on the show today, they're going super, super late. So there's a lot of opportunity there. And that's what I enjoy. So my goal is by right around June 1st to go and get my initial first rankings list out, hopefully sooner. And then I'll send it to the people. So with that in mind, make sure you are subscribed to this channel. Make sure you've got the alerts so that when we come live, we're typically recording either Saturday or Sunday morning. This is when we're going to be live. Or, of course, you can always go check out the podcast. We always going to be on the feed. So make sure you subscribe to the DFS Army podcast. You can get all of our content there, as well as any of the DFS stuff that you love and desire. So check it out. Of course, our content also at dfsarmy.com. So for Brandon, I'm Flex Shane, and we are the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. Good luck on your rookie draft, people. Knowing that diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine.